Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Beautiful spring day out. I know the clouds are rolling in. Maybe the rain's going to pop in for the evening. But man, these last 2 days of spring, it's been nice.
It's been delightful.
You're starting to see the cherry blossoms come out. It's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, where I live, there's a lot of them, but they haven't really, you know, come out yet.
I started to see the early sprouts of cherry cherry blossoms.
Yeah, it's cherry blossoms. You know, it's spring when.
Yeah,
but it's also like pollen season.
Oh, so the allergies are picking up for one Satyar Shah.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was not fun.
We've got a lot to get into today. We're going to have Port Moody's very own Kent Johnson join us. Columbus Blue Jackets forward. Canucks get the Blue Jackets on Friday. Kevin Woodley will join us as well, our goalie guru, his take on Thatcher Demko's return to the lineup and just how much of a workload can he handle with Kevin Lankinen now banged up between the pipes for the Vancouver Canucks. And of course, the Canucks have the Islanders. We'll get the pregame show started up at 3:30. It's a 4:30 puck drop today on Sportsnet, and of course here on Sportsnet 650. Hit it. It's the open.
Welcome to the open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest being the Canucks still very much in must-win territory in that amplified last night, where the wagon that is the St. Louis Blues put the boots to the Montreal Canadiens. Les Habitants did not show up in St. Louis last night, losing 6-1 to the Blues, who have dropped a grand total of 6 points since the return of the Four Nations face-off.
I think that's pretty good.
That's decent. I'd say it's decent.
Yeah.
It's like, not only have they won, they've dropped 6 total points since the Four Nations break finished.
So, you know how we often say there's always a team that gets hot?
Yeah.
Well, now 2 years in a row, two teams have not only gotten hot, like they've gotten like...
Yeah, insanely hot.
Preds last year, Blues this year. Like, Blues, like we were joking, may not lose again. They might not. And for all the talk about regression, and yes, you look at their shooting percentage and things have gone in their favor, there isn't enough runway to say it's going to turn definitively the other way.
Yeah.
It might dry up in the playoffs for them. That
They're
might
also
happen.
Playing well. Like, it's
yeah, they
like
are.
Similar to the Canucks last year, where they're riding percentages, but also they're playing well at the same time. Yeah,
but there's always a correction
yeah.
when you ride percentages to that degree, but that correction may not come this season.
And they look like the latest Central team to be a wagon. Now, Minnesota, though, they did lose, so they remain on 85 points with 10 games to go, and Calgary won their fourth in a row as Nazem Kadri scored an OT winner. They've got 12 games to go and are at 79 points, 1 point up on your Vancouver Canucks, who have the New York Islanders tonight on the schedule. Islanders very much in the Eastern Conference playoff chase as well. They were happy that the Habs lost last night, and that keeps them very much in the wild card race. They've got 12 games remaining and are currently just 1 point behind the Habs for that second wild card. So obviously the Islanders, who are in this situation every single year, have found their way into the wild card conversation again, even at times this year where it felt like they were well out of it.
I mean, this year's playoff race, I guess last year's was good too, but there are a lot of teams involved. Like, you can, what, there's what, 7 teams in the league that are out of it?
Yeah,
completely.
Maybe not 8? A ton of teams. There's not a ton of teams that are in full-on tank mode right now.
Yeah, there's like 7-8 teams.
Yeah, because you've got, in the East, you've got kind of like 6 teams that are still credibly in the wild card race for that final spot. 5 teams. Yeah. Boston, I guess, has kind of dropped out
they're
of it.
They're kind of, Boston's too, I mean, they're 6 points out and they've played 2 more games.
Yeah.
So they're out. So Boston, Pittsburgh, Philly, Buffalo, that's 4 teams. And then in the Western Conference, there's maybe 6 teams out if you want to count Utah out.
Yeah.
But even Utah, they're still fancying themselves in the mix. So there are nine teams that are effectively out: Anaheim, Seattle, Nashville, Chicago, and San Jose.
So it's pretty insane playoff race right now in both the East and the West. Canucks seemingly are going up against desperate teams almost at all times. New Jersey, though they're comfortably in a playoff spot, they've been playing desperate hockey because it's just not been going well for them. New York, obviously, the Rangers, very much in desperation mode. And now tonight, the Islanders, Friday with Columbus. A lot of teams in playoff races on the Canucks schedule. And I'm thinking about today, and I'm thinking about the Islanders, and I've long been a poke fun at Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders guy.
Mm.
Like, this is a directionless team. Where are they going? They're continuing to try and pry open a non-existent cup contending window. You know, they had those back-to-back years, 19-20, right in the thick of the pandemic, and 2020-2021 season, the North Division year, where they went to the Eastern Conference Final and gave Tampa Bay a pretty good run for their money in those series, and eventually lost. And it's felt like ever since then, they keep trying to get that window back open and rediscover some of that magic that they found in those years, in those playoff runs. But it's just not there. And since then, missed the playoffs and 2 years in a row of losing in the first round. Now, I know they were more sellers than they were buyers at this year's deadline. You know, I think they did a really good job of getting a big return for Brock Nelson from the Colorado Avalanche. So I will give them credit for that. But the last thing you want to be is Islanders West. And I think that's very much an outcome here that is possible for the Vancouver Canucks. The only thing that's keeping the Canucks from being Islanders West, if, you know, quite frankly, some of our listeners might think that they are already there, just kind of toiling away in the middle of the in the Western Conference. But for me, the only reason you aren't there is because you have Quinn Hughes on your roster. And that, we're not sure. As Quinn mentioned the other night.
Oh, come on.
Couple of years.
Oh, come on. To attribute
the
that
only
to Quinn,
reason you're not Islanders West, I'm kidding mostly about what Quinn Hughes said the other night. The only reason you're not Islanders West is because of Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the same time, the Islanders have made the playoffs 7 of the last 10 years.
Yes.
The Canucks have made the playoffs twice in the last 10 years. They've been to two conference finals in that time.
Yeah.
So yes, right? And they've been out of the first round two other times. Now, the last two times in the playoffs, they've been out in the first round, and their ceiling is limited, for sure. There's no doubt. And I'm not sitting here and defending the New York Islanders, but I'm just saying that, like, the New York Islanders, to your point, there were two conference
but nobody's
finals
looking
they
at the, my point is that nobody's looking at the Islanders and being like, that's a cup contender.
No, not right.
And nobody even legitimately feels like they're close.
No, but no one feels the same way with Vancouver either, to your point, right? And I think for Vancouver, you're right about Quinn. Like, but
Canucks are closer because they have Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, but also because they have Quinn Hughes, I think it gives you always a shot. Like, even look at the playoff race right now.
Yeah.
As much as the Canucks are out of it, as long as you have Quinn, like, I don't know. Like, if somebody's going to help this team do something extraordinary, it's going to be goaltending and Quinn Hughes just being one of the best players in the world this year, right? When you have a player like that, they're capable of doing something along those lines. That, to me, is like a huge separating factor. So I do agree with you. Like, you want to not be the Islanders. At the same time, like, the Islanders are a team that has had some level of success in the playoffs. If you look at Canucks history, like, there haven't been stretches, very many stretches, where they've had that type of success. So I think you'd like to see them be in the playoffs consistently. But it comes down to raising the ceiling for this team.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it comes down to. You need at least another star player or two up front to give yourself a true chance. If you get that, though, and you have Quinn Hughes, like, you not only are you not Islanders West, you all of a sudden become a contender.
Yeah. And that's where Elias Pettersson comes back into the conversation. If he rediscovers his form, then now you've got two superstars in your team. And really the only star level player, like Quinn Hughes level, top five player at your position that the Islanders credibly have on their roster is their goaltender, right? Sorokin. Mm-hmm. When he's been on his game. Other than that, they don't have a star. And that's where I think I end up landing on the whole, like, should you try to keep pushing for the playoffs or should you go into more of a bigger rebuild conversation is like, if I've got a credible superstar that I'm building around, like we used to talk about with the Penguins, hey, they've got Crosby and Malkin. As long as they have those guys, it's worth keep trying to push because you don't know what those guys could do, what kind of level they can get to in the playoffs and how far they can take you. Quinn Hughes is legitimately at that level as far as a superstar talent is concerned. So if you're the Canucks, you look at it and you say, as long as we have this guy on our roster, we have to keep pushing. As soon as that changes, it changes the entire equation.
And also in this whole idea of the playoff pursuit, and we'll talk more about it, I guess, for overrated, underrated coming up later on. But when you have a player like Quinn, if he's as good as we think he can be, he has to prove that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if he turns out to be as good as we think he can be in the playoffs, is he not a player that can win a round for you?
If you look at his numbers this year, we talked about the numbers and how good the Canucks are with Quinn on the ice. Yeah, he's good enough to win you a series.
If you get goaltending, can he win you a series? Now, this team doesn't have enough to win the cup this year.
No.
Even if Quinn Hughes plays the best hockey in the world, right?
What's
you don't
the closest
have that
version of that that we've seen? It's probably the, what, the
Eric
16
Carlson?
Eric Carlson, the Senators with Eric Carlson?
That's about it. They got to the conference final?
Yeah.
Right,
they took Pittsburgh pretty far.
They did, but they ultimately didn't have enough.
Yeah,
right. That, I mean, I'm not saying the Canucks are going to do that, right? But I'm saying that's what a Quinn Hughes, if he's that good, can do for you. So why not give him a chance to do it?
Yeah.
So I think there's always value when you have a guy like Quinn, especially a guy who's only had one real playoff. Yeah, the bubble happened, but a real playoff last year. And how do you get better in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
By playing in the playoffs repeatedly.
Playing in the playoffs, understanding those situations, understanding how much one mistake can really affect you game to game and can affect a series. And the Canucks learned some of that last year, but you want to see them be a perennial playoff team. And obviously, the odds are stacked against them right now, but that's what you have with Quinn Hughes. You have a chance. You have a chip and a chair, as I like to say, when it comes to discussing a playoff chance. Now, are you a cup contender? Obviously not right now. A lot's gone on this season. You don't have Elias Pettersson in the lineup. He wasn't playing at that level anyways before he got hurt. You traded away JT Miller. All of these things have conspired against you building towards that this year. And now you're trying to recalibrate to get back there for next year or get back to closer to cup contention next year. But you still have the long-term goal of wanting to keep Quinn here. And the thing that I come back to as well in this conversation is the front office very much knows that the equation does change if Quinn Hughes isn't here.
Well, then you're into a rebuild, whether you like it or
not. Jim Rutherford has publicly stated that. We know that he knows that's the case.
Yeah, and who knows what that means for Pettersson and his future.
Yeah.
They also have other guys locked up long-term, Marcus Pettersson, Filip Hronek.
Mm-hmm.
They have a blue line with some veteran players that are also in that mid to late 20s age range too.
Yeah.
And also some younger players. So they have a blue line that's, even without Quinn, I'm not saying they're great, but they have a blue line that can withstand a couple year rebuild.
Yeah.
And then still be a foundation for you. So it's not like you have to do a full strip it down and tear it down rebuild. It's more about reloading your forwards.
Yeah.
And trying to find your future number one defenseman. That's what it comes down to. But the rest of the building blocks are there defensively, right? But that's a reality you don't want to be facing.
No.
And you're at least a year away from that. So it comes to where do you go from this point on? And we're going to talk about this more as the season goes on. And yeah, the Canucks are still in the playoff race, right? They're not out of it quite yet, even though it doesn't look good.
Every game is a must win.
Yeah. And it doesn't look good despite everything that we've seen.
Yeah.
But the season's still ongoing. Once season ends, we'll dive into this a bit more. But I think people have heard enough that there isn't a great free agent class.
Yeah.
And even the trade market looks a little thin, especially after Cousins and Norris got traded for one another, no less. They were the two obvious young forwards that were available that teams were willing to take a chance at to be future stars for you.
Yeah.
They're gone now. Now, it doesn't mean other guys won't become available, but now we're waiting in wait-and-see mode to see who becomes available.
And ultimately, the Canucks don't have a lot of what other teams are looking for, as we found out at the trade deadline this year.
They don't. But they do at the same time.
Mm.
They're not willing to give up what other teams are looking for.
Right.
So they could have made trades if they were willing to move on from their top prospects.
Yeah.
whether that's Vilander, Lekromäki, or DPD.
Well, that's something that's something you're going to have to look at harder in the summer then.
Honestly, Reach, I don't see a pathway for this team to add an impact player unless they're parting with one of those three guys.
Yeah. Like, it's really hard to see that. And the thing that I've keep circling back to is like, yeah, how are you going to get... If you're talking to Ottawa about Josh Norris, or you were talking to Buffalo about Dylan Cousins before they made that, like what are they asking for? You know, they're probably asking for, at the very least, your top prospect who was on the cusp of graduating out of college and generating, you know, some real NHL level talent, or a Jonathan Lekromäki type. You think about the summer, and yeah, Buffalo might still be in the idea of we want to wheel and deal. Detroit, they might be saying, okay, we've got to do something drastic to put ourselves into a better position for a playoff push next year. Utah, they're probably going to want to get better. Anaheim, Seattle, there's a lot of teams. Nashville is going to keep trying to work it after this has turned out to be a rebuild year when they didn't expect that after their offseason. So you've got teams that are probably going to be willing to wheel and deal, but they're probably not wheeling and dealing with you if you're keeping your top prospects close to the vest.
Yeah, and generally speaking, most teams in the league don't like trading their top prospect.
Yeah.
Top, and especially if they're high-end prospects,
it very
right?
rarely happens. Like Colorado did it with Cal Ritchie in the Brock Nelson deal, but that almost never happens for rentals.
But if you're willing to, you have an edge on the competition.
Yeah.
Because you're willing to go somewhere other teams are not willing to do. And given the history of Jim Rutherford, and given Patrick Alvin, and given everything we've been just talked about where the Canucks are headed and what they need to add to the team, and the looming decision for Quinn Hughes long term here,
you might be a little bit more open to making that big of a decision this summer.
Yeah, and I think
you might have to be.
Yeah, and I think these guys would be. Mm. And it's going to be fascinating to see what they do this offseason, honestly. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying they're training Vilander, I'm not saying they're training Lekromäki, and I'm not saying they're training DPD. But like, it's very clear those are the three guys teams want.
Yeah. Well, you've kind of gone through two trade deadlines where teams have been asking for those guys. You've been reluctant to do it. But how's that changing in the summer if you're looking to get an impact forward?
And if they can't find it in free agency and trade otherwise, and even offer sheets like we talked about, because they don't have their own third. If even if they trade for the third, that's not a team might match.
Yeah.
You don't have control still in an offer sheet situation, right? If you can't do those things, you're going to not make the team better. That's why, like, I think they're going to think long and hard about making that type of decision.
It makes for a really interesting offseason. As for Tom Vilander, he's playing in the regionals. The NCAA tournament begins tomorrow for him. 11 a.m. start for that game with Boston University. If they lose, they are out, and then he is eligible to sign a contract. His college season is over, so he may sign a professional contract with the Canucks after that. If not, it continues to the weekend and potentially beyond for Tom Vilander. In the Canucks Central Roundup, of course, it's the Canucks and Islanders tonight. It's going to be a big-time goalie matchup. Ilya Sorokin against Thatcher Demko. Bo Horvat up against his former team. He likes playing the Canucks. He's better than a point per game in the four or five games he's played against Vancouver to this point, and has been red hot of late for this Islanders team that kind of needs him to be, with the injuries and everything else that they've got going on as they try to make this final push for the playoffs. But Horvat's been good for them lately.
He has, and it has restarted the conversation for a lot of fans. I mean, one of the favorite pastimes for this market and in this market is reminiscing about former players.
Or trying to bring back a former player.
Former
How many
Canucks?
Times do we... Can they bring back Troy Stetcher?
Former players, former executives, former coaches.
Yeah.
There's always a longing for the past here and bring people back that had success. At the same time, like, you understand the reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, Horvat would fit a lot of what this team needs in many ways, especially for a center behind Pettersson all of a sudden, especially after they move JT, right?
Yeah.
But he's still not that defensive guy. He's still not that PK ace, right?
No.
Like, he kind of is another Miller in some ways. He's not
better scorer. Better goal scorer, maybe, but not as good as a playmaker.
The funny thing is, like, he shoots the puck more, and he's probably a better goal scorer. But JT's probably still has a better shot.
Yeah,
right.
That's fair.
Like, I think and he still scores 30 goals, but nonetheless, I think they're very different players, but also very similar in what they can and can't do.
Yeah,
right. but you can still apply that. Like, even Josh Norris would fit that. Now, Norris has been really good on the PK this year and won a lot of faceoffs on the PK, which is something this team needs. And that's what made him somewhat intriguing about maybe having some two-way upside as well, in addition to, you know, being a guy that can score a little bit for you. And if he can stay healthy in the right environment, could he be a guy that takes a step and becomes something pretty interesting, right? And I think that's what kind of made them really intrigued by Norris, in addition to obviously the Quinn Hughes factor. But it's about having got those types of guys available now for you to be able to pursue.
And an update, Kale McCarr scored his 27th goal last night. He's up to 82 points on the year as Colorado beat the Detroit Red Wings. And for as much as we talked about Quinn Hughes and the heart, I'm pretty sure McCarr's mostly got the Norris locked up for this year. I'd be like, it's going to be a tight race. Quinn probably still going to be a finalist, I would imagine, from the voters, but I do expect Kale McCarr to win the award. I think that just the games that Quinn Hughes wasn't able to play probably are what end up tipping this conversation to McCarr's favor for this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't win it, it's going to be because he didn't play enough games.
Yeah.
And if the Canucks don't make the playoffs. But if they make the playoffs,
it's possible. It's going to be a conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting vote.
Yeah.
Something to keep an eye on as the season comes to a close. Coming up, Kevin Woodley is going to join us, our goalie guru, his take on Thatcher Demko and more coming up next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans, The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.